LAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Hurricane Helene, now a post-tropical cyclone, still dumping rainfall with gusty winds. A storm sustained winds hit 140 miles an hour when it came ashore in Florida's Big Bend. It's taken dozens of lives, and the path of damage is enormous. ABC's Ika Jachi is in Florida.
FEMA has arrived and is on the ground in the Sunshine State today. In terms of residents in need, it's expected that Governor Ron DeSantis will sign an emergency declaration for residents who have suffered catastrophic losses.
And Helene carving a path of destruction through the South. Several flash flood warnings remain in effect across portions of southern and central Appalachia, including multiple flash flood emergencies across parts of North Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. Hezbollah confirming the death of its militant leader Hassan Nasrallah in an Israeli airstrike. Now fear of escalation. U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin says the United States remains postured to protect U.S. forces and facilities in that region. This is ABC News. A 20-year-old Santa Maria, California man is accused of tossing a homemade explosive device into the local courthouse hallway this week and is now facing federal explosive charges. ABC's Alex Stone has more from California.
Already facing local charges, now federal counts have been filed against Nathaniel McGuire. Federal agents say he admitted he went to the courthouse in Santa Maria with the intent to kill, and when he threw the bag containing an improvised explosive device, he yelled "Liberty or death." In his car, guns and ammunition were found. Investigators say McGuire was angry about being arrested during the summer for allegedly having an illegal gun in his pants. Alex Stone, ABC News.
A two-week hearing into the ill-fated Ocean Gate Titan submersible concluded Friday as the U.S. Coast Guard investigates the unprecedented catastrophic implosion that killed five people while on a deep-sea voyage to the Titanic wreckage. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. This one goes out to all the grandmas and grandpas who are sitting on some extra money in your bank accounts. Today, we are going to talk about the gift tax exclusion. In the year of our Lord 2024, the gift tax exclusion is $18,000. That means you can give members of your family up to $18,000 American dollars as a gift without you or them paying taxes on it. Financial advisors call this reducing your estate. Normal folks like us call it giving money to your family before you die so you can reduce the taxes that have to get paid. If it seems like there's going to be some left over when you pass, this might be something to think on. You could use the gift tax exclusion to your mutual benefit and maybe even pass on some money lessons to your loved ones. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. People all over Wisconsin are talking about absentee ballot drop boxes after the mayor of Wausau decided to move one to make a political point. Mike Moan reports.
Voting access advocates secured a victory over the summer when the Wisconsin Supreme Court reversed a near-total ban on drop boxes for absentee ballots. But this past weekend, the mayor of Wausau, a vocal opponent of the option, held a publicized event where he removed one. Sam Liebert, with All Voting is Local, feels it's an extension of those who continue to push false claims about the outcome of the 2020 presidential election.
This is just another part of a larger puzzle of continued voter suppression and trying to have fewer people vote in the upcoming November election.
The mayor defended his actions, insisting he did nothing wrong. Opponents of drop boxes claim they can be tampered with, and prohibiting them can help ensure election integrity. But election policy analysts say they are a proven safe option. All Voting is Local and other advocates called on state authorities to look into the matter. The local district attorney is pursuing an investigation. Even though the state's highest court made this voting tool legal again, local administrators still have the option to decide whether or not to place them around their communities. Liebert says those in leadership positions and the public should know how beneficial drop boxes are in giving everyone a chance to vote.
They help so many types of voters, whether they're voters with disabilities, they're third shift workers, they're single parents. all types of people benefit from having ballot drop boxes.
Earlier this month, a similar controversy arose over guidance from the Dodge County Sheriff's Office to local election clerks. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and highs in the mid-80s. Clear tonight, lows around 50. Sunshine, 79 for Sunday. For Sunday night, some fog and 52. Monday, sunshine and a high around 81. For Tuesday, sunshine and much cooler with highs in the low 60s.
Currently, 69 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, State Senator Kelderoy's on how Republicans just keep digging a bigger hole when it comes to women's reproductive health care rights.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Got a warm breeze blowing, cool creek flowing, full moon high, got a good thing going, got some old school tracks, tweaking on the speakers, what we got between us is burning like a fever, it's a damn good night.
What is up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman is the sidekick with the mostest. She's riding shotgun with me today. And we have an unbelievable show. So excited you're joining us here today. I cannot even, during the hunting season in Wisconsin, goose hunting's open, deer hunting's open, turkey hunting's open. I just got back yesterday. I flew in yesterday.
Yesterday from where?
I flew in from New York hunting the molt migration in New York.
The what?
For the molt migration. I know. So I was going to try and explain what the molt migration is. The molt migration, so birds, young birds go through a molting phase that they can't, where the, when they cannot fly, and that's when they're most susceptible to predators. But then when they get their first wings, it's when they're headed south for the winter.
Sure.
And the upstate New York, a lot of people think of the Big Apple as just this crazy, clamoring, big, huge city with all this going on, and it is. What they don't know is that upstate New York is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. There's a ton of...
You've been to a lot of places.
I've been a lot of places. I'm telling you, upstate New York is beautiful. Hmm. When you fly in, you fly into Ogdensburg, New York, and it's 20 minutes from the Canada border.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
A lot of people don't even realize it borders Ontario, Canada. And there's water everywhere. And I'm what is absolutely freakish about it, because, you know, remember the Miracle on the Hudson when the plane hit the bird strike?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when you're flying into Ogdensburg, because of the molt migration, you got the Adirondack Mountains and you got the ocean. So all the birds pushing from Canada are going through that bottleneck there, which makes it amazing hunting. When you're flying in, you literally see flocks of geese in the air as you're flying in.
Gorgeous. Oh,
it's beautiful, but like the hair on my arm is standing up right now.
Oh,
you get
amped,
but you also are like kind of scared junkless.
Yeah.
If that's the word I can use on
you
the radio.
Can use that.
It's scary. B. Frederick, one of the national government affairs guys for Safari Club International, we call it SCI now, First for Hunters, is with us in the studio today. You are joining us on Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish. That's Danielle Fairman. We are on your Civic Media radio stations every Saturday at 11. Thank you for taking time out of your day. This show is about showing you what Wisconsin's got to offer in its great outdoors. It's a cooking show because every week we talk about a recipe, and I got
an awesome recipe
this week I'm excited to talk to you about. It is has to do, it's Italian. I'm just going to say that. And it contains goose that went from the field to the dinner table.
Was this a New York
fresh,
recipe?
Fresh, never frozen. It was a New York recipe, all right?
Ooh,
look,
yeah.
If you got a problem, I don't, if you, what, you got a problem with that?
Why, you going to fight
what,
me?
You got a, what, you got a problem with that? Huh? Jessica, you are right now. Come on.
Why do you listen, do that all I, so
all's,
well?
All I got to say is...
You have to, you have to do you the same the, hand the show.
Okay, my family's Italian. I have to have some... All I got to say all is if you're going to make say. A red sauce, you got to be careful not too
Can
much
you,
bay leaf,
we
all right?
We need you to do listen, the recipe in that.
Listen, I'm going to do the recipe in my best New York accent.
Yeah.
What's really weird is that in upstate New York, the accent is like Canadian. And then it.
Then,
oh my gosh! And
then, more.
In addition, it's an area that is filled with Amish. So there are Amish farms and like you have to be really careful driving because there's so many Amish buggies.
Oh man! Yes,
and the
you
Amish
do.
Have a very distinct accent as well, and so you get a mixture of like East Coast, Canada. And Amish accents all together. It's fascinating. I love linguistics.
That just sounds so interesting.
It is super interesting. B. Frederick.
People are cool.
People
are cool. Yes, they
people
are.
People are so awesome, dude.
Speaking of cool people,
totally.
B. Frederick.
B. Frederick is cool. And, you know, I've talked to him and we've worked on some legislation together. I want you to know B. Frederick was integral in helping us get the air gun bill signed into law by Governor Evers across the aisle. We had Republicans and Democrats working together on that. Governor Evers signed it into law. That's going to allow many more hunters to get into hunting sports. Now you can hunt deer, turkeys, waterfowl with air guns. And we had Joel Brown from Serpent Arms on the show. I have one of those air guns at my house. I don't mean to derail what we're talking about, but
There's
B. Frederick was
sure does.
Yes, it's amazing. We're going to shoot it. I mean, you know, producer Jess is going turkey hunting with us.
Yep.
I'm hoping to bring my air gun along on that turkey hunt.
That'd
so
be fantastic.
I'm excited about it. But my weekly Wisco is that I literally flew back from New York. We had an amazing time. We cooked fantastic food, served a bunch of people, got to know a bunch of the locals up there, made fresh ingredient dinners from their gardens, which we're going to talk about in our recipe segment. But I got on the plane when we were up at 3:30 in the morning, got to bed at 1, and we had about 2 hours of sleep every night. I was absolutely waxed when I got home, but I love it so much. And I heard that my friend B. Frederick, who I'd never met before, we worked together over the phone, was in town. So I literally...
Oh, no way.
I didn't even make it home from the airport last night. I landed and drove to Scout Fields to try to put together a goose hunt for B this morning. That's my
That's
weekly
wonderful. Whisper.
And I'm grateful. It was
oh
great. Good hunt.
You went. So how was the hunt for you, B?
It was good. It was really good.
Did you shoot? Did
yeah,
you get
yeah.
any?
Joel kind of organized. It was a princess hunt for me.
A princess
you know?
What's a princess
you
hunt?
Did not
what is
call
a princess,
princess
hunt?
I strolled up, and they're already out there putting decoys in the
Aww.
Field. You know, Joel has my gun over there. And I'm like, oh, man, I got to do something. You know, give me a decoy bag.
I think I gave him
there.
Some, like, wasabi almonds and said, eat those.
Yeah, yeah.
Some, don't worry about it. You can eat some, like, wasabi
exactly,
almonds.
That's awesome. Did you bring any for me?
They're still in the blind bag for sure.
They are well, no, because I ate them
ate
this
them all.
Afternoon.
Okay.
Was this your first goose hunt, or have you gone goose hunting before?
I've goose hunted on the Eastern Shore of Maryland a couple times. I'm originally from Alabama. I live in Alabama right now, up here for a conference.
What?
And yeah,
oh,
and
all right, then
cover. I cover the whole eastern half of the country for SCI doing government relations.
Oh, wow.
And so that's how Joel and I know each other. Work on various issues here in Madison at the Capitol. Air guns, muzzleloader, sandhill crane, Knowles Nelson stewardship, just access related stuff, among other things, anything that affects hunting. So that's how Joel and I got connected. And then just obviously in town, and he was kind enough to offer up a goose hunt this morning, and not going to turn that down. And
of course
so,
not.
Well,
had
here's
a great
the funny
time.
Thing.
A goose hunt with Joel is,
yeah,
is
yeah,
golden.
Yeah.
Golden goose. Not always, but it turned out all right. What's funny to me, though, is I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know how that goes. Like when you invite somebody from out of town, you don't know when the geese are where or if you're going to shoot anything. Goose hunting is one of those things you can show up and you can get a 10-man limit in like, you know, 10 minutes.
Yep.
Or you can sit there the time you had. And B had to be at the Capitol for meetings at 9:30 this morning.
Oh, no.
So
yeah.
We literally had like an hour and a half with him this morning. And I thought, well, I found a few geese at one of the fields we've got permission on. And I invited him with the old, you know, I'll be nice, invite him, thinking he's going to be like, yeah, I appreciate it. I got meetings. I can't make it. He's like, yeah, when and where?
Yeah, good job. You're not going to say that's no. Not... I mean, you know, Wisconsin.
And then I'm like, my house at 5 o'clock in the morning.
No, he goes 5:15, and then he goes,
get up
make it 5:30. And I was like, all right, no problem.
Yes. So we showed up, and here's the crazy part. I mean, like, it starts like right in the morning. We're in there, and it's like 5 minutes after shooting time, and all of a sudden we hear. And we're like, where is it? And B's like, I think it's ahead. And he couldn't see it. And it was a solo just coming in, like just doing it.
Just perfect.
It
just perfect. Solo.
No pressure. But like, yeah, it's perfect.
Perfectly.
Solos never come in. At least for me, solos do not come in.
It's hit or miss, you know, but this thing was committed. And so, and it was Rob Brennecke was with us this morning in Matt Carroll's. And I said, all right, B, shoot it. We're just going to put our guns down. And I'm thinking to myself.
Oh, why are you laughing,
Because
B?
I was like, I felt the pressure. I was like, don't. Screwed up.
Was it the first shot of the day?
No, totally.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
First shot of the day. It was like 6:35.
And he couldn't see it coming.
It was so low.
He's tall.
It was so low.
And where he was sitting was like right where the
top
of the blind was in his eyes.
Yeah. And
I'm looking. I'm like, it's coming.
This was the same
story with Ellie. Yes. Same story with Ellie. She claimed
she couldn't see
it. But she couldn't see it because she was short.
I know. Well, the bird was low, so I couldn't see through the blind. But I knew I wasn't just going to, like, pop up and try and find it. I was like, I'll see it eventually.
And I'm like, there it is. Kill it. And he pops up.
And?
Bird down.
Nice work.
And then the sound that I always make, it was game over. He got it. He shot it. We high-fived. We took pictures.
That's awesome.
Joel and Matt raced to go get it.
Yeah, we did race. Yeah, that was kind of a mistake. I mean, it was like. It was like, well, have you ever seen sumo wrestlers racing anywhere, Danielle?
Oh, no.
I mean,
no, I have
let's
not.
Just put it this way. I didn't have the giant diaper on and nothing else. I had camo on. I wasn't running
thank
to the middle
for
of the
small
field
favors, eh?
In the giant sumo diaper. I did have camouflage head to toe.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was like, bum, 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 bum. You know, it's two guys, an old heavier guy and a young heavier guy sprinting at full bore. Kind of looks like it's in slow motion.
Bum, oh, bum, that's bum, great. Bum, did anybody
well, we really wanted to video
so
it.
Did you throw a stick out?
Yeah.
Watch out
for that stick. He had another retrieve that was really good too.
Oh, thank
you. Don't need a dog when you're hunting with Joel. I mean, it was a long retrieve. The other one was really long.
I get out there and I'm literally reaching for my neck to make sure my heart's still beating. And then birds are coming. So then they're like, get down.
Lay
so
down.
I'm lying down in the field. The birds passed 20 feet above me. I did not shoot at them. Number one, because I wanted to be safe. Number two, I didn't want to mess up the birds coming to the blind. But it ended up me running out there 150 yards to get this.
It was way out.
It messed
way
everything
out.
Up.
Oh, no.
But it was, I wanted him, you know, I wanted him to have his trophy and be able, and I have to tell you, I'm waiting for this moment to spring this on you. Your geese, B, are now delightful, shredded, delicious beef. Style shredded goose right now that you're going to be able to take back with you.
Oh, man, look at that.
When are you leaving?
Thursday. Nice.
Yeah,
Thursday,
so I've got, Thursday. I cooked it. I put it in the Instant Pot today with my personal recipe. I'm going to get him to swing by the house on the way home and take it home with him.
What a treat. Thank you so much.
So I'm pretty jacked about
kind.
That.
Thank you.
That's my weekly Wisco. Danielle?
Oh, I just went out turkey hunting and I got permission to goose hunt another property.
All
look
right.
Look at me go.
I want to hear about that because I want to talk about goose hunting other properties. Man, this show is so awesome. I can't wait to tell you about our recipe and what B's got in store to get done for hunters around the state and the nation.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
A couple guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of making small talk, killing time. Flirting with the flight attendants, 30,000 feet above.
Was that you on the plane in New York that, walking everybody down there?
That was. No, because I had my calls above me in the carry-on port.
It's probably a good thing.
And the last thing I wanted to do was have geese come closer to the airplane while we were flying.
Yes, yeah. I definitely would have heard talk, you.
It kind of scares the crap out of you. Folks, welcome. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman's alongside me. And B. Frederick, Government Affairs for Safari Club International, SCI for Hunters, is with us. We had an awesome hunt this morning. Want to say thank you so much for listening. I hear from listeners all the time when I'm out, and it's so great to hear listeners say they love the show. They love the serious aspects of it we talk about. They love to learn about hunting, fishing, kayaking, rock climbing, camping, everything you can do in the great outdoors of Wisconsin, and they love to hear about how to eat, how to cook, how to forage, and that's something we make sure to do on every show on Raised in Wisco. And remember, to be a voter in 2024, early voting is already open. Make a plan and vote for whomever you think will represent you the best this and every election. It's your civic duty. Therefore, Civic Media is reminding you to do it. You can listen to Raised in Wisco on every Civic Media station at 11 a.m. Saturdays. We love being a part of your weekend. That is the time most folks get to get out into the outdoors. If you take time and listen to the show, and it helps you enjoy the state of Wisconsin, that brings a real sense of pride to me. I know it does to Danielle.
Absolutely.
Danielle and I have been hunting together for more than a decade now. We've been sidekicks with each other, and we love bringing you Raised in Wisco. B. Frederick has been talking to us about some of the things that SCI has been working on, the air hunting legislation. Now it is this is the first season it's legal to hunt with an air gun for big game and turkeys and small game. The muzzleloader bill, which made it easier for folks to be able to load muzzle loaders from the breech. It's a small thing, but it's big when you talk about hunters who may have dexterity issues, potentially hunters with diverse abilities or disabilities, older folks who may struggle to front end load a muzzle loader, and it's actually safer. So we did some things really across the aisle that changed kind of the preconceptions that Democrats and Republicans can't get along to pass hunting legislation, didn't we, B?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good, appreciate that, Joel. I mean, there's a lot of good things there that we worked on last session, and I think we're going to have some stuff teed up for next session as well that is bipartisan. That's the whole idea, is that, you know, we always say hunting is conservation, and hunting and conservation are nonpartisan issues. That's how they should be. That's how they always have been. Unfortunately, they can get politicized pretty quickly, especially in states where, you know, you may have that partisan divide. Obviously, we're seeing that more and more across the country now. But ideally, whether it's, you know, in D.C. and Congress or in our state capitals across the country, the idea is that these issues that we care about, that we're talking about, just are not partisan issues.
No, I when it comes to hunting, I mean, for example, Danielle, you were kind of non-political for quite a bit of your life.
Quite some time.
And I mean, I don't know if I'd even call you political at this point. But hunting and fishing and using the outdoors, foraging, those are not limited to Republicans or Democrats. So what's intriguing to me, you know, non-hunters. Now, we've got, that's what's so great about this show. I absolutely love what we do with this show. Producer Jess is certainly 100% in the category of a non-hunter at this point.
Yep.
But now she's interested in hunting. She's purchased her first ever hunting license.
Nice.
She's going to hunt turkeys with us.
Cannot wait.
We went through all of the iterations of what may or may not happen and whether she feels comfortable actually taking the life of an animal, which is a massive responsibility in conservation and putting food on the table. Either, to me, it's very ethical if you're a meat eater to understand where your food comes from and how it gets from the field to the table. I think that's very important. And I mean, producer Jess, did you ever... And, you know, we started the segment blowing goose calls, unless you thought those were real geese that we said.
Because
my
exactly
calling's so good.
It's so genuine.
It's so genuine.
Yeah.
What?
Producer Jess, did you ever in a million years when you were going to school learning how to produce for radio, for media,
oh, yes,
when you were studying
media? I definitely did that.
Okay, that was sarcastic.
It sure was.
Just a little... Dude, that was a little
being
sus.
Sassy with you.
That was a little sus.
No, No.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to start using Gen Z sayings again.
Please do not.
Bruh.
No.
Bruh. That's choogy.
That's choogy?
Choogy.
What is that one?
I don't know. Jess, you're a youngster. What does choogy mean?
Choogy is my brother-in-law's band.
The band's name is Choogy?
Choogy.
Choogy. Jess, did you ever think when you started producing for radio, you'd end up with a show that had so many different things that they talked about that you really had no idea of at the point?
I mean, I sure hoped so.
Yeah, I guess.
I kind of came into this with this idea of I'll be able to meet a whole bunch of different people with a whole lot of different views on what life is and what life should be and can be. And I just came into it with the concept of, yeah. People are cool.
Yeah, people are cool. And you've eaten wild game for the first time?
Not for the first time.
Well, one of the few times you ate wild game was we brought pot pies into the studio. I promise you I'm going to bring more wild game in it because this goose that I made that B. Frederick shot with me in the blind this morning was absolutely awesome. I want to say this for the 7.2 million listeners. I want to say this. B. Frederick is an excellent shot.
Oh, look at
well,
you go.
Well, when they come in ones and twos and no one else shoots, then you have to be. And Joel's calling was so good that they just sucked right in. They were really close.
Yeah.
And MTH's decoy spread was pretty solid.
The spread was solid. I will say this, though. We did have a two-pack or three-pack come in that we dropped all three of them. Two or three of them.
Yeah.
And so B and I were on the right side. We both popped up and we both shot at the same one. And my first shot, I shot before him, it hit the goose squarely in the butt.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a butt shot for sure. And then B, of course, shot it.
Clean up.
Played clean up and knocked it right down in front of us. But I'm going to tell you, what did you shoot? Maybe like five or six shells? Five or six shells.
Yeah.
You legit killed your
well
three
again
y'all
are incredibly
today.
Generous to let the non-local guy pull the trigger off.
That's pretty great though. You had the first goose too, so
first goose
that sets the tone for the
whole
hunt.
Yeah, so it felt good. It was an awesome morning. We had a great time.
And Danielle is on the board. She's got some more permissions. I mean, to be honest with you, if Danielle knocks on your door, how do you say no? How do you say no to Danielle? I mean, especially if you don't really know her at that point.
Yeah, yep. This is very true.
I cannot wait to talk about what we made in New York to eat. It was really New York style, all right?
Oh
do you
goodness.
Understand what I'm saying? And we're going to talk to B. Frederick about what's coming up and what you can expect and why it's so important you get to the polls.
Take a ride.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Hurricane Helene, now a post-tropical cyclone, still dumping rainfall with gusty winds. A storm-sustained winds hit 140 miles an hour when it came ashore in Florida's Big Bend. It's taken dozens of lives, and the path of damage is enormous. ABC's Ika Jachi is in Florida.
FEMA has arrived and is on the ground in the Sunshine State today. In terms of residents in need, it's expected that Governor Ron DeSantis will sign an emergency declaration for residents who have suffered catastrophic losses.
And Helene carving a path of destruction through the South. Several flash flood warnings remain in effect across portions of southern and central Appalachia, including multiple flash flood emergencies across parts of North Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. Hezbollah confirming the death of its militant leader Hassan Nasrallah in an Israeli airstrike. Now fear of escalation. U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin says the United States remains postured to protect U.S. forces and facilities in that region. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Bucky heads west. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Wisconsin Badgers take on USC today as UW tries to rebound from a loss to Alabama 2 weeks ago. Head coach Luke Fickell said he expects to start making big plays the rest of the season.
That's the thing that I think gets lost in the whole grand scheme of things, right? I mean, you know, that it's some special play that you call. No, it's called execution.
Kickoff today is at 2:30 p.m. You can stream the game on the free Civic Media app on WRJN, WRCE, WFHR, or WLAK, or listen on any of those stations live today. The Brewers, who are locked into the NL's third seed, defeated a potential playoff opponent, the New York Mets, 8-4 on Friday. The playoffs begin Tuesday for the Brewers in the wild card round. The Green Bay Packers play tomorrow against the Minnesota Vikings. Starting quarterback Jordan Love is listed as questionable for the game. He's missed two games with an MCL sprain. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and highs in the mid-80s. Clear tonight, lows around 50. Sunshine, 79 for Sunday. For Sunday night, some fog and 52. Monday, sunshine and a high around 81. For Tuesday, sunshine and much cooler with highs in the low 60s.
Right now, 71 degrees.
Make a difference in your community today. Find the perfect volunteering opportunity for you at volunteerwisconsin.org or by getting in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center. There are so many ways to get involved and make an impact. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or professional technician, Auto Value is committed to providing the parts you need and the service you deserve. Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
Your school can earn up to $10,000 this year. Just save the UPCs from the Country Hearth products your family already enjoys. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. That's loavesforlearning.com.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, James Vanderloo, the head of OEC Group, an expert in transatlantic trade and tariffs, will get all wonky with me. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
She's a hot little number in her pickup truck. Daddy, sweet money done jacked it up. She's a party all nighter from South Carolina. A bad mama jammer from down in Alabama. She's a raging Cajun lunatic from Brunswick. Juicy Georgia peach with a thick southern drawl. Sexy swinging womb, brother, she's all country.
Raised in Wisco, your one-stop shop to take the outdoors to the indoors to the kitchen. Man, Wisconsin's got it going on right now.
And Alabama's in the house today.
And Alabama's
right,
in the house.
That's right. Not we University of, by any means.
No, you don't like them, do you?
No, I don't. And they just came. They just came and played in Madison.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You didn't go see them? And
not, yeah. I'm an Auburn guy, which we don't have a lot to cheer for at the moment. But
you know, I went to college at Pepperdine University, and they did not have a football team. So now, having two daughters who go to Baylor University, now I'm all about Baylor football because their program there and their stadium, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I still know very little about football, though.
Do you want to know where I went to college?
Where?
I did not go to college.
Okay.
I went to the Union.
She went to the University
of
Hard Knocks.
There we go. We'll go with that one.
Danielle's a heavy equipment operator by day.
Okay.
Yes. And even before she did that, I still wouldn't have messed with her. And she laid me, I think Danielle would have laid me out flat.
Yeah, don't believe that little laugh.
Yeah, no.
I'm sweet innocent. No, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm buying that.
I'm scared already.
You should be.
Raised in Wisco can be heard on all your Civic Media stations Saturdays at 11 o'clock. Make sure that you're going to be a voter this year. You can sign up for early voting, which is now open. Make sure to do that. One of the cool things that we do on the show is talk about current issues and make sure that we help inform those of you out there who are going to the ballot box. I think, and having B. Frederick here, who does government affairs across the country, really, for SCI, I think it is. I'm going to pick his brain a little bit because I'm interested in knowing. Hunting is one of those things that incorporates, you know, Second Amendment rights because it's done with firearms very often. So you've got Second Amendment rights, but then you've also got conservation rights and issues that clash sometimes back and forth among different political philosophies. How do you come into a state and balance that and present yourself as a nonpartisan organization trying to get work done? Because the reality of it is, no matter who's got the majority or the minority in the houses and legislatures or who's sitting in the governor's office, very little actually gets done if it's all from one party or all from another party.
Sure.
You really need to have buy-in from both sides of the philosophical political spectrum. How do you handle that? And is that one of the reasons you're here in Wisconsin right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so there's a number of ways to look at that. I mean, it is a interesting issue when you look at hunting and conservation kind of on the whole. And the spectrum of people that do it, that enjoy it, the political spectrum, things like that. But one of the main things we want to do when we get to a state is get our members involved. Our members are certainly our best advocates. So we have chapters across the country, really across the world. These are the folks that do vote for these people in the state house or state senate. They know these people. They see them out to dinner. They see them in the grocery store. So when we get our members involved and they show up at the state house and say, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm Joel Clayfish from the Wisconsin SCI chapter or whatever it may be. That goes a lot further than me coming in saying, hey, I'm from Alabama. This is, you know, these are important to our issue, to our members. And that's true. And ideally we can do both. And so we want to communicate to elected officials that, hey, there's people in your backyard that are SCI members that are, you know, maybe gun owners that are certainly hunters, that just love to hunt, which is, you know, again, for us, our mission is SCI is first for hunters. So we want to be out there on the front lines of defense to protect the freedom to hunt. That's what we do every day. There's species oriented groups, there's firearms oriented groups. And we're all on the same team, right? We're all pulling in the same direction for hunting and conservation and firearms. Each group may have a little bit different kind of, rifle shot approach there. But at the end of the day, we want to be kind of pulling in the same direction. So we had some meetings today that were kind of more of a coalition. There's a conference here in town with a lot of the state agencies. So the DNRs from the different states are here for a conference. And so that's what we're doing. We're interfacing with those, you know, decision makers and decision making bodies to say, hey, you know, what can we do to ensure kind of the freedom to hunt, protect the freedom to hunt?
Yeah, I think that's incredibly important. One of the things that I find when I encounter a non-hunter or an anti-hunter, I am not a person. I love the fact that people have different philosophies and
Absolutely.
Beliefs. I mean, I love the. I mean, that's why America is the greatest country on earth. We allow the freedom to have opposing beliefs, and we allow forums to debate those beliefs.
Sure.
And what makes me excited about it. And I think I also subscribe to the you catch more bees with honey than you do with vinegar. And that's why I will not automatically dislike somebody if they have views that are opposed to me. But what I find most fascinating is that, look, you know, we've kind of moved away from the vegetarian movement, and now healthy diets include high levels of protein. Protein is incredibly important. There's only one place you really get protein, and that's from animal meat. So if you are a meat eater, I find it very difficult to be opposed to hunting, because hunting is the purest form of bringing protein to the table. You're literally hunting an animal that has lived free its whole life. Now,
right.
I love our farmers, and I support them, and I love the beef and chicken from farms is great. But that is an animal that is born to be raised to be slaughtered so that you can eat your meat. When you are a hunter, I believe there's an ethical charge to it that allows you to understand the gravity of taking another life and putting it on the table for sustenance of you and your family. And I find that when I talk to non-hunters or anti-hunters, very often if you deliver it to them in that approach, they will have not necessarily a change of heart, but a change of the way they look at hunting and see it as a source of your family's protein. My family eats only wild game. That's what we eat. My wife had cancer at age 35. We eat wild game. There's really nothing more organic than that.
Yep.
And so for you, for both of you, because both of you understand the whole political stance, with your interactions with people every single day, how often do you guys come across an anti-hunter or people that are completely against it? Because with me working construction, everybody hunts.
So you'd say the majority of people, yes, who work construction hunt. Why do you think that is?
I have honestly no idea, because they're I have no idea. I have no idea.
I mean, because if you're talking about Wisconsin, and I asked that question because I didn't think you'd be able to answer why that is. And I think the bottom line of why it is because in Wisconsin, we have a heritage of hunting. And 600,000 people, the Orange Army enters the woods on, mm-hmm, the opening of our gun deer season. 600,000
people. That's just gun deer. We
people.
Have
that's more people.
Archery. We have goose. We have turkey.
Yes.
We have everything.
Yes, that's just
more than
gun
that.
Deer. Right. And that's larger than many countries' armies are. And I think that is because it is part of our cultural heritage. And what is so important to me, and why we spend so much time talking about wild game recipes and eating what you kill, is because I think you really take away the argument of an anti-hunter who is a meat eater if you eat what you kill. And how important do you think that is in the debate? How important do you think that is, B, in the debate, that you need to utilize what you kill and not just trophy hunt? Trophy hunting is great. And every animal, to me, is a trophy.
Sure.
Every animal.
Yeah.
And you can utilize the fur and the cape and the right. horns and the teeth and everything. I mean, jewelry and gun slings or briefcases or wallets or clothing. But how important is it that we make sure to utilize the resource?
Yeah, absolutely. You can get pretty in the weeds pretty quickly on some of the numbers as far as the research done on acceptable reasons to hunt. And at the very top, almost every time, is a food source, like the locavore movement, right? Or a sustainable food source. That's almost at the top every time. And at the bottom typically is trophy hunting. And so what we need to do a better job of is communicating why we do what we do, right? As hunters, why are we out there? How do we utilize the resource, to your point? How are we feeding our families with it? The traditional values that come along with that, the family values that come along with that. So that's something that as a hunting community, by and large across the country, the messaging, whatever that is, those key messages, those conversations are happening all the time with sportsman's organizations, with state agencies, and other groups saying, hey, how can we do a better job of communicating what we do and why we do it, why it's important to us, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's a very topical conversation
just for generally speaking on the hunting side of things, for sure.
So you guys do see people coming up to you or around you that are anti-hunters?
Oh, for sure.
Often?
For sure. Well, I think, you know, having been a member of the legislature mm-hmm. and being in the public eye as far as being a hunter, I mean, you're going to see photos on my Facebook of me hunting. And
oh, yeah.
You're going to see a picture of me with a dead animal. And for me, personally, in my professional career and how people view me, it's important to me that they know I'm utilizing the resource and it's going on my dinner table.
Yeah.
When I hunt in a foreign country, you're not allowed to bring meat from a foreign country back to the United States. The FDA prohibits it. I think that's ridiculous and stupid, but I 100% make a point to eat that animal in that country. Now, I'm going to also say something, and I hope it doesn't come across as controversial. I have absolutely zero problem with trophies. I think trophies are unbelievable. They're wonderful,
yes.
Beautiful decor for houses. I have clothing that I wear. I have a black bear coat. Wallet in my pocket
ever seen that.
Is alligator skin. I have alligator skin boots that I wear all the time. I have gun slings, briefcases. My wife's purse is made out of animal skin. When you go to a store and you buy leather, guess what? That's cow skin that you're buying. So it's always been really important for me to show people that I'm utilizing the resource, because I think if you do it strictly for trophy purposes, and this gets into a difficult debate in other countries. When I hunt Africa, in Africa, they utilize the meat from what we kill. We do eat it. We are able to eat it, but then the majority of it goes to the tribes in the area where we hunt. So it's not only a sustaining food source. The money that is spent on the licenses goes to help bring clean water and upgrade water systems in foreign countries very often. So most of all, it's kind of education. What's super exciting to me is that we have never lived in a better time to make wild game taste fantastic. We've got the Instant Pot. We've got air fryers. We've got recipes. Sous vide. Very
that's
good.
That's a great thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, we've got spices and rubs. And I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many times someone has looked me in the eye and said, ugh, wild goose is disgusting. And then
Multiple times. I will make
for them and I'll say, hey, have this shredded beef sandwich or shredded beef Michoacan style street taco. Oh, man, this is the best shredded beef I've ever eaten. I say, well, great, because it's sky carp. You know,
yep.
You know,
sky carp.
Sky carp.
I've never heard that. Actually,
that's a good one. Sky carp.
That was good.
And I mean, I joke about it, but there are so many. The Provider Cookbook. The Provider itself. I work for the Fowl Life under that umbrella as the Provider. Go on the Provider website. You'll get 8,000 ideas how to make your game taste amazing. And now that's all we eat at home, and we don't think twice about it. We really don't think twice about it. And if you're not a hunter and you're buying farm, you know, raised beef and everything, that's wonderful too. I love a delicious ribeye steak at the Tornado Room in Madison. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But I think what we're seeing, and I want to talk to you about this, what we're seeing right now is philosophies on the right bending the corner and the left bending the corner and meeting in the middle, kind of in the area of conservation and clean eating and organic eating. Are you seeing that on a national level when you're talking about legislating in these different states?
Yeah, a little bit. I think you mentioned the word education earlier, and I think that's a big word, whether it's, you know, the food movement, or you mentioned Africa, and obviously Safari Club International, that's a focus for us. That's how we got started over 50 years ago and what we do. But at the end of the day, we're advocating for the freedom to hunt over there as well. And so educating folks on, hey, the importance of hunting in Africa, what it does for local communities over there, how it's sustainable use in Africa, how it's sustainable use here. At the end of the day, the education piece is a primary issue.
Yes.
Irrespective of if it's food or if it's just in general.
And that is up to us as hunters to be beacons of that education. Invite people to talk to you about it. Don't shun somebody if they don't agree with you right away. Try to explain why we do what we do. I can't wait to continue that discussion and tell you exactly how to make the most delicious lasagna from scratch. Don't be afraid of the sauce.
Country. It's all about the country. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Usinger's has been making America's finest sausage for over 140 years. Now Usinger's fresh brats are flash frozen and vacuum packed so they stay butcher shop fresh for 6 months in your freezer. And because there's no air in the package, there's no need for chemical preservatives. Usinger's fresh brats are the freshest, most additive-free you will find. Enjoy some this summer with our other great Link products. Our backpack sausage seals in flavor and leaves out chemicals. Remember, if it's got the elf on the label, you've got quality on your table.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Civic Media is your place to listen to Raised in Wisco in 13 markets throughout the great state of Wisconsin. I'm Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman and I get to co-host this awesome show about the greatest things about the outdoors of Wisconsin, about food. B. Frederick, one of the national government affairs guys for SCI, is in the studio with us. We had a really fascinating conversation about hunting, about what it means to different people of different philosophies, about crossing the aisle, about making sure that we can ensure the resource for generations to come. And I don't want to be remiss, it is also about the rights of people to exercise their ability to hunt and bring food from the field to the table in this country and other countries. And it doesn't go without saying, because I don't think a lot of people realize how much the American hunter who hunts abroad ends up helping the cultures and the economies of those countries. I hunt South Africa, and the meat goes to local tribes. When you shoot a gemsbok or you shoot, you know, a large animal, there's hundreds of pounds of meat that's literally going into the food sources of the tribes. And the money that is spent there in South Africa that is attached to hunting funding, hunting expenditure, ends up helping with clean water facilities and it really some very humanitarian things.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, you can really extrapolate that anywhere, right? So, I mean, I'm here for a conference. I bought a license. I'm buying gas. I'm buying food here. So it could be local here in our backyard where hunting provides an economic impact to the local landscape, or it could be abroad. It could be in Europe. It could be in South Africa, wherever. But hunting certainly provides that economic impact just from being there, the tourism, for lack of a better word, tourism, ecotourism dollars that's provided there. And then what you mentioned, kind of the other benefits of, you know, for their bushmeat there for those people or other places. But yeah, there's so many benefits to the hunting community, what we do. And again, we've got to tell our story better about what we do and the importance of that. But yeah, you can see that, you know, wherever you hunt, you're providing a benefit by being there, utilizing the resource, but also providing that impact.
I think we're getting better at telling our story.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
Shows like this help tell the story. I think shows like this also bring folks from different belief systems together, which is very important, you know, as well. And B. Frederick got to be in the blind with me today. We shot some geese. We cooked them up. And I want to tell you our recipe. We, you know, But before I leave that, real quick, I want to talk. The governor's administration has teamed up with the Fowl Life, and the Department of Tourism and Travel Wisconsin is now a sponsor of the Fowl Life.
Awesome.
So it shows that the leading Democrat in the state gets it as to how important, you know, the hunting community is. And so they're teamed up with us. So when we're doing things in Wisconsin and cooking, and we're doing podcasts and television shows and talking about reasons to come and travel Wisconsin, it is something that definitely affects everybody. And it is one thing we want here, because the money that comes here from other states and other countries to hunt in Wisconsin is an economic driver in this state. And I was going to make a segue from economic driver to food. There really isn't one. It's just me, and food is my favorite dish. So I'm just going to say, now it's time to talk about food. We spent the weekend.
Smooth.
You're listening to Smooth. I was singing.
Producer, he's got quite the voice on him.
I was singing some smooth jams over the break.
Some smooth jams,
smooth jams, smooth goose calling.
Smooth jams.
Got it all.
Joel.
So the smooth recipe I want to talk about is, she's like, get to the recipe.
She got that
one
on
of the number one thing, we were in New York.
Sidetrack.
And we made goose lasagna. I mean, you're in New York, right? You got to make a good lasagna. You got to make some pasta. You got to make something that's going to fill everybody's belly, all right? Hey, eat a little more. What are you talking about? What's your problem, huh? You got a problem with that? Come on. So for sure.
Oh, yeah?
We made goose lasagna, and one of the things everybody's always afraid of is sauce. So we went to this place. We actually had lunch.
Who
at a place.
Is afraid of sauce?
Well, to make sauce. Afraid of making sauce. Not like afraid, like, there's sauce under my bed.
No,
I can't fall asleep. There's sauce under my bed. No, sauce not afraid to make sauce. People are afraid to make it because it's
intimidating.
It's intimidating. So I want to tell you what this fascinating thing happened. And this just goes to the generosity of the human spirit. We're at a place called the Turner Inn, and we have lunch there. We get talking to the bartender in there, and she, you know, we're joking around with her because if you can imagine, Chad and I have rather large personalities. I mean, we're like garlic, all right? You want it in your kitchen or you don't want it anywhere around the house, all right? So we talked to this woman. And she says, well, what are you guys going to make? You're going to do a recipe for the show, right? And I just said, well, we're in New York. We got to make goose lasagna, right? So she says, well, you know, I grow tomatoes in my backyard, and I grow herbs and spices and garlic. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. She gave us bags of tomato sauce, which was just pureed tomatoes. She gave us cloves, like bulbs of garlic, and she gave us some rosemary, thyme.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. It's this easy. We just took the goose. We put it in the crock pot for 10 hours till it fell apart with the standard recipe, water, oil, lemon juice, garlic, and salt, basically seasonings. And then we took the sauce and we put it on simmer. And all you have to do to make a good red sauce is just let tomato sauce simmer. It will get that rich flavor over time. Then you just add to it flavors as you go. Add salt. Added a little sugar, took away a little of the acidity, turned out perfect. The goose meat was shredded. We sauteed it in a pan, give it a little crispy edge. We flash fried it a little bit. And we made a 9-layer lasagna, a 9-layer Italian goose lasagna, oregano, fresh garlic, fresh basil, fresh thyme. You just keep adding to that sauce. You can correct sauce as it cooks. That's the beauty of it. Don't worry about if it doesn't taste right. Figure out what it's missing and keep adding as you go. And we turned out with a 9-layer lasagna.
Oh, yum.
Get out of here. What are you talking about? It was delicious. Try it at home. Don't be afraid. Put that wild game in your recipes. Folks, we love you listening to Raised in Wisco on all your civic media stations. Can't wait to talk to you next week. See you.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach. Coming up on the show, very excited to have Lee McGowan, the politics girl, is going to join us as we break down the upcoming 2024 presidential election. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.